Hello everyone, welcome to the last podcast of the series Blockchain Fundamentals. We are quite excited to tell you that we have successfully completed the podcast series, and after today, just your exam remains. Your certifications are all set and all that remains is the exams. The exam will have 30 MCQ questions and you'll have to give correct answers of 20 questions to qualify. The questions will mainly be from the podcast and few may be from the videos like that of the Silk Road. So, we have already discussed about the use cases that relate to the finance world. Today, we would discuss wider use cases of blockchain. The first use case we want to discuss is the healthcare. The company we would talk about is MedChain. Prem, can you please talk about it more?
Hello everyone. As Aishwarya talked about the company MedChain, let me tell you why someone would not want their medical records changed or tampered with. The mission of the company is to establish a better, more secure and transparent framework for storing electronic medical records that vastly improves the quality for the patients while reducing healthcare costs. So, MedChain gives patients the control of their own health information and the ability to delegate the access to providers like doctors and hospitals using the blockchain and a distributed storage system. The MedChain network itself is an extensible layered architecture and protocol system that is governed and secured by multiple blockchains and utilizes a multi-crypto token currency framework, which is built on Hyperledger Fabric and permission blockchain. The MedChain solution itself is a kind of common data layer that allows existing EMR, electronic medical record companies, to extend their software that already exists within a global compliant framework that facilitates secure storage, privacy, and transparency.
And today, as a patient, we want to have our records. We want that only someone whom we want can see our records and don't even make copies of it. Suppose we are in a different country, or let's assume a different state. So portable medical records will be required for telemedicine, and soon you will be able to do that with just a few taps on your mobile. You will be able to authorize whatever doctor you want to see your client records, and a global ledger would enable a broad list of people to offer medical support and have a unified patient-centric approach. The current approach of healthcare medical records is to store them all in one big proprietary database that individual companies own, which is a big security risk. And that is why they kind of went this way. Lastly, blockchain's inherent way for the public to verify each and every transaction is important. This gives control of your own medical records, and you can tell who sees them and who has access to them. The patient dApp or distributed app is available free to patients all over the nation and all over the world. And that's the application where patients can see their medical records, list out everyone who has ever seen them or touched them, and give new providers access or take away access from the old providers. This application is under completion of phase 2. This is how you can see a use case of blockchain in the medical industry.
The next thing which needs to be put on blockchain is the voting system. Often heard that the EMVs were rigged or there were Russians involved in Trump's election. This all can be done away if the voting system is bought onto the blockchain. Luxoft is the name of the company that is working on the voting system on blockchain for the city of Zug. Easily, every citizen can go to the city of Zug e-voting portal, log in with their digital ID previously obtained from the city of Zug, and get a set of unique digital keys generated. Then, using their keys, they can access the open polls and vote. And when the voting is over, see and verify the accuracy of the results. Due to its blockchain nature, e-vote makes voting instantaneous, anonymous, immutable, transparent, auditable by the general public, and decentralized due to no centralized body owning the data and controlling the results. The city of Zug can now create polls, notify digital ID holders about the upcoming voting, and process the results in minutes, saving operational costs and time. Also would like to share the very recent blockchain-based voting system from Moscow. where the constitutional amendments are put for voting, which are to be held on June 30th, 2020.
Now, isn't that amazing way to remain anonymous and vote? And then don't blame the opposition when you lose. Moving to the next use case, which is identity management. We have heard about identity before in one of our podcasts. There's a company known as LifeID. Let's begin by discussing one of the problems of the modern world. Today, there are three major problems that we face while we transact online. Users have low privacy. Fraud prevention efforts cost business a lot of money. And password-based authentication leads to frequent data breaches. So what is a self-sovereign identity? A self-sovereign identity is an identity made up of data that the users have control over, like your name, addresses, date of birth, government identification numbers like PAN, Aadhaar, places of employment, and many other attributes. When you need to prove some aspect of your identity today, three things happen. First, you pass that required information on to others. Second, you provide some form of proof to prove that the information is correct. And the third, when the recipient checks, usually a centralized database, to see if the information matches. Now, as we have seen, identity information in centralized database reduces user privacy and increases fraud when the data is breached and reused to impersonate someone. Protecting that data and protecting against fraud is also costly to businesses.
Blockchain technology, when combined with cryptography and with self-sovereign identity platforms, will help you solve these problems or remove them altogether. With sovereign identity technologies like Life IDs, users won't pass along their identity data like they do today. Businesses won't need to store identity data like they do it today. Instead of passing on a date of birth, a user will be able to pass along a claim that they are over a certain age. Instead of passing on an address, a user will be able to provide a claim that they are a resident of a certain country or a state. Instead of passing along a government-issued identification number, a user will be able to pass along a claim that they had a valid ID, and so on. In other words, instead of sending private information, users will soon be able to send claims that certain information is true. The claims will be signed by the issuing parties using cryptography. The signature will serve as evidence that it is a true and a valid claim, and for this reason, they are called verifiable claims. And user will then be able to choose to show that verifiable claim to a verifying party, who will then be able to check that the signature is valid, and that the claim is still valid, and that the claim belongs to the user and to nobody else. These verifiable claims will stay with the user on their mobile or other device, not stored in centralized databases like identity data is stored today.
This technology will lead to fewer privacy violations, less identity theft, and fewer data breaches. The blockchain plays two major roles. One, the blockchain serves as a cryptographically secured network for verifying the signatures on verifiable claims. And in a model two, the blockchain will act as a decentralized payment processor for identity transactions. As a wonderful bonus, self-sovereign identity platforms will work worldwide. Several universities, including MIT, have begun to offer their students the option of obtaining proof of graduation as a verifiable claim. Moving to the next use case, and that is land records. We will take the example of Cook County Recorder of Deeds in the office of Chicago, Illinois. So there are a few reasons why blockchain is interesting for land records, and that's sort of how Cook County came to the project. About 3 years ago, they were the first country-level office and perhaps the first government office in America to endorse the technology behind Bitcoin, which is blockchain, a decentralized database. So let's understand briefly why real estate makes a lot of sense for blockchain. And one of the main reasons is that a real estate transaction in the United States requires multiple parties, sometimes up to 20 or 30 different entities to agree on a single set of data. And that's what a blockchain does. It allows people to reach consensus on facts in a quicker manner. And currently, right now, the way it's done is very paper intensive. And it takes a lot of time and it's expensive to get everyone on the same page. So a blockchain-based land record where everyone knew who the owner of a property was just by looking at the record would be a game changer for real estate in the United States and worldwide. Another reason that land records or even government land records could benefit from blockchain is that in the United States, the land records in many states and counties are not required by law to be kept up to date. So the public record is there, but it doesn't even have sort of the gold standard power that it should have to allow people to be able to transact real estate quicker. And another reason that blockchain makes sense for land record is fraud. Prem, can you please talk about the use case?
Sure, Aishwari. In Cook County, it's fairly common where people will attempt to steal other people's homes on paper. That's because our current paper-based system doesn't require or even allow any verification of data that's used in a deed or conveyance. So a fraudster can forge a piece of paper and steal someone's home on a paper easier than they could steal their neighbor's Wi-Fi. That's one of the things that really attracted us to blockchain, was at least protecting the conveyance of a property behind a public or private key pair. And a sort of one of the big reasons for taxpayers is that all of this would save people money in the process. Imagine the cost saved once all the brokers, insurance agents, verifiers are all removed. So those are the benefits that a blockchain can provide for the real estate. We first need to make public record mandatory, but once that happens, we will be able to start to get towards a better system where we can agree on a set of facts quicker, making the real estate more liquid. Make it easier to transact real estate without having to take multiple days of work. So that's really the power of blockchain for real estate, especially if you look at the end-to-end transactional environment. So blockchain is all about getting us to a set of facts we can agree on, a 100% accurate public record, and really an end to paper-based recording fraud.
We have connected everyone on the internet, but we have no mechanism to know whether that person we are interacting with via email or social media is even truly the person that we think they are. It really limits our ability to conduct commerce on the internet, which is something that we have been promised a long time ago. So, by reimagining how we identify ourselves, getting our personally identified information off of a centralized, outdated server and mainframe that can easily be compromised by hackers and foreign agents, we get the idea down to the personal level where we are controlling our own personally identifiable information on encrypted devices. Blockchain allows us to be on a path towards permanent storage of data, and which is cheaper and easier to maintain and requires less facilities, and it gives us towards paperless workflows. An end-to-end entering data and re-entering data constantly, and the types of errors that come with that. The next example we want to talk about is supply chain. Global trade functions, much as it has since the introduction of the shipping container in 1956, manual, paper-based processes are still common, and the information about the status of goods is locked down away in organizational silos. Today, 90% of the goods in global trade are carried by shipping industry, with the supply chain slowed by the complexity and sheer volume of point-to-point communications across a loosely coupled web of land transportation providers, freight forwarders, custom brokers, governments, ports, and ocean carriers. IBM and Maersk are addressing this problem with a distributed permission platform accessible by the supply chain ecosystem, designed to exchange event data and handle document workflows. Maersk and IBM are employing blockchain technology to create a global tamper-proof system for digitizing trade workflow and tracking shipments end-to-end, eliminating fractions, including costly point-to-point communications.
The collaboration will launch with the potential ability to track millions of container journeys per year and integrate with the customs authorities on selected trade lanes. In the recent test by Maersk, shipping a single container of flowers from Kenya to the port of Rotterdam resulted in a stack of nearly 200 communications. Using this example, we will examine how blockchain has been implemented to create trust and security in the digitized document workflow and improve the efficiency of global supply chains. Here, we can see each distinct entity involved in the transaction: the growers, export authorities, ports, customs, and importers. Shipping from the port of Mombasa requires signatures from 3 different agencies approving the export and 6 documents that describe the origin, chemical treatments, quality of produce, and customs duties. Firstly, using a PC or mobile device, the Kenyan firm submits a packing list that becomes visible to all participants. This action initiates a smart contract that enforces an export approval workflow between the 3 agencies. As the agency signs, the status is updated for all to see. Simultaneously, information about the inspection of flowers, the sealing of the refrigerated container, the pickup by the trucker, and the approval from the customs is communicated to the port of Mombasa, allowing them to prepare the container. All the actions relating to the documents and the physical goods are captured and shared. Which documents were submitted, when and by whom, where the flowers are, and who is in possession of them, and the next steps in their journey. Flowers are perishable, so it's crucial that there are no delays or missed steps.
Blockchain provides secure data exchange and a tamper-proof repository for those documents and shipping events. This system could significantly reduce delay and fraud, saving billions of dollars annually. And according to WTO, reducing barriers within the international supply chain could increase worldwide GDP by almost 5% and total trade volume by 50%. So isn't this great?
Another example we want to talk here is about Walmart. Let us assume I purchased a pack of mangoes. I came into my staff meeting. I put them on the table and I said, "You track these goods and your exercise starts right now." And you timed how long it took them to get the information for each point in the food system, all the way back to the farm. Imagine the time it took to find the answer. When a customer shops in our stores, we know they expect great prices. We know they expect fast, clean, and friendly service. But an unspoken expectation is that they expect the products that they buy in our stores to be safe. You know, when there is a food event or a food scares, what you want to do is you want to be fast, but you want to be right. At Walmart, they actually pull all the product until they know what is the implicated product. And so imagine if they could pinpoint with certainty within minutes, not days, that it was the implicated product. Walmart and IBM are working to make that a reality. If you think about the food system, it's pretty complex. It involves farmers, processors, distributors, and the way traceability is done today, each segment of the food system does it on their own way. Most actually do it on a paper or on systems that don't speak to each other. And so you can never have a full view of what's happening in the food system. What we hope to do with the blockchain is bring all the food safety system stakeholders and collaborate so that we do it the best way. We can do it very quickly and efficiently. Blockchain is a digital ledger that allows different segments of the food system to capture information about the product, what they have done to it, where that product has been. If they are linking that data with other data points, so-called the Internet of Things, all that information will yield to insights that will allow them to have a safer, more affordable, and sustainable food system. They believe that the transparency is the ultimate goal, which is being provided by the blockchain. Blockchain will give them the ability to not only track where the food came from, but how it was produced. Was it produced safely? Was it produced responsibly? Is it sustainably grown? How many days of shelf life are left on that product, etc. The food system is a shared responsibility, and for blockchain and traceability and transparency to work, they need a lot of people working together. Hence, with IBM on this blockchain initiative, there were some of the wider examples of blockchain which you might relate to if you imagine out of scope of just finance. I hope you guys enjoyed learning from us, because we sure did when we answered all your queries.
Right, Prem. It was an amazing series to see how we started with so many people until the end the enthusiasm remained. As the final homework to you guys, you can talk to us personally as to any of the areas you want to work on and any of the areas where your companies are working. And we can either guide you or talk to your management to incorporate solutions. Let us know what more we can do to enhance your knowledge. We would be happy to do so. And all the best for your exams. In final adieu for the first blockchain fundamental course, but we will remain connected on the group. Signing off from here. Bye-bye, guys.
That's great, Aishwarya. Extremely happy with the efforts these guys has taken in listening to and actively interacting in the group. And we would be available to you all the time. And let's continue this knowledge sharing collaborative tech journey. Would be very happy to hear from you the updates on this technology. All the best for the exam, and this is the beginning of a wonderful journey which is ahead of us. Thanks to all, and many thanks to Aishwarya for this kind of series. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.